Everybody's in?
No.
Almost. Well, we said 3 o'clock, so we'll get started. Just to finish off this little slideshow about the wars against Israel.
我们现在要再把刚才讲的这个那些阿拉伯国家打以色列的事情再把它再讲完。
Yeah, there's a lot of information about this on the internet, of course, so I'm just giving you the basic idea of what these are about.
其实在这个网络上有非常多的这两个战争的一些讯息，那我们基本上只讲它的很基础的一些状态给大家听。
Now, remember that Israel was established as the modern nation by a United Nations decree, like a law.
因为以色列的建立呢，其实是由联合国帮他建立的。
That actually began after World War II, but it became a nation officially in 1948.
他们是在1948年正式成立以色列国家。
That's when they became the nation, but they still had to fight for their country.
虽然他们成为了国家，但是他们还是一直的得要为他们的国家的这个打仗。
Just because a country says we are now a nation doesn't mean that they're always a nation. Sometimes they have to still fight their enemies.
虽然他成为了国家，他不是就是这么容易的。好，很多时候还是要对抗他们的敌人。
And actually, Israel have always had very stressful relations between themselves and their neighbors.
那以色列自从建国以后呢，他一直都在跟他的这些邻居们有非常困苦的征战。
Because their neighbors are made up of Arabs and Muslims.
因为他的所有的这个邻国啊，几乎都是穆斯林或阿拉伯国家。
But it's interesting, here you have a look at this. This is the Yom Kippur War, which happened in 1973. Look at the enemies here.
你看他1973年的这个战争啊，你看他有多少的十几个敌人。
Egypt and Syria and Jordan share borders with Israel.
其中呢，埃及、叙利亚跟约旦是跟以色列会有直接的边境相交。
I think Saudi Arabia might have a little part of a border. Is that right? I can't remember.
那沙地阿拉伯可能也有一点点的这个国界是跟以色列。
Okay, or they might not be right next to each other, but very close.
也许不是刚好就在他旁边，但是沙地阿拉伯应该是离。这个以色列非常靠近了。
But then see these other nations here. You've got Iraq, Libya, Tunisia, Algeria. They're not direct neighbors at all. Actually, they're quite a long way away.
而像那个伊拉克啦、利比亚啦、阿尔及利亚，他们其实是还蛮遥远的，不是以色列旁边的国。
Actually, in these four nations you see here, Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, and Morocco, they're all part of North Africa. They're the North African nations.
因为利比亚、突尼西亚。阿尔及利亚、摩洛哥，他们都是属于比较北边的国家。
Morocco is actually thousands of miles away from Israel.
摩洛哥离以色列真是上千公里以外。
And then Cuba, I mean, where the heck did they come from?
那更别提那个古巴是更远了。
Cuba is not Islamic, and they're not Arabic.
古巴根本不是一个伊斯兰的国家，他们不是阿拉伯国家。
Yes, you remember Arabs are a race, whereas Islam is a religion. So they're actually two different things.
因为阿拉伯人是一种血统，然后伊斯兰教是一种宗教。
And as we see in the book of Genesis, the Arabs are sort of natural enemies historically. So the Arabs have always been enemies of.The Jews, because of their history going a long time back.
因为阿拉伯的国家呢，他们从历史上就一直是犹太人的敌人。
Whereas the Muslim religion, you know, that came about 600 AD, and they're enemies by the word of the Quran.
那但是呢，伊斯兰这个宗教是在西元600年成立的，这个宗教呢，他们就变成是，它是经由可兰经的教导。让他们去痛恨犹太人。
You'd have to ask, well, why is it that Cuba declared themselves to be enemies of Israel?
所以你会觉得奇怪，为什么古巴要去攻打以色列？
Okay, well, you look over here on the left-hand side, you see that Israel is supported by the United States, meaning the United States were providing funding and military equipment.
那你看看左边以色列下面呢，它是被 美国政府所支持的。Okay. 所以它是美国政府提供金元和就不财务跟这个物资。
And I don't know the details, I'm sure you could find information about this, but at that time of the Cold War, the United States and the Soviet Union were enemies.
而美国呢跟这个苏联在那个时代呢也是一直在冷战的状态。
So naturally, the Soviet Union don't want America having a lot of influence in the Middle East.
而苏联呢是很害怕美国在那个时代呢对中东地区有任何的影响力。
So of course now the Soviet Union are going to provide support, like military support, to the Middle Eastern nations against Israel.
因着这个原因呢，所以苏联呢就会想要支持这些阿拉伯国家，所以他提供非常多军事的协助。
And then because Cuba was like a nation, we saw a vassal state under Russia. See, Russia was supporting Cuba because they were communist. Now Cuba has to get involved as well.
而因着这个古巴又是苏联它的一个算下属国，因为他们都是共产主义国家嘛，所以呢，为了这个原因，所以古巴就会站在苏联这边来打这场仗。
And if I remember correctly, they actually sent soldiers to that war.
所以也许按照 Tim 的记忆啊，古巴甚至有把他的军队好送往这个战场。
But this is how a lot of wars work out.
这是很多个战争都是这样子来的。
You have people fighting for this war, and they really have no involvement. They have no reason, no interest to be in that war.
那你会看到有一些战争都是这样子，就是有一些国家他参与了一个战争，但其实他根本没有任何没有真正的历史或地域或者是冲突性的一个原因。
If you ask the people in Cuba at that time about their views towards Israel and the Middle East, they probably say, we don't even know. What is Israel? What is the Middle East? We have no knowledge about these places.
你如果在那个时候你问这些古巴的人说，哎，你们为什么打这场仗？他们根本搞不清楚，因为他们不跟以色列有什么关系，他们都搞不清楚。
It's like World War I began because the Archduke Ferdinand of Serbia, wasn't it?
Austria,
okay. There was a guy who got assassinated. There was one man, he just got assassinated. And because this one man got assassinated, all of these other countries, they're slowly getting involved in World War I.
From which country?
He was Austrian.
像第一次世界大战开始的原因是还蛮奇怪的。Austria.
Yeah. Austria-Prussia, actually.
And 有一个奥地利人被暗杀。是因为这个人被暗杀，然后开始了整个一次世界大战。
And because of that, this conflict between was Austria and Serbia. That escalated, and then soon you have all of Europe getting involved in this war.
然后结果就让这个整个欧洲全部互相进入了一次世界大战的状态。
And my great-grandfather, he was in New Zealand. He got called up to fight in that war. He was there for 5 years, fighting all over Europe.
Tim 的曾祖父就在那个时候呢被招去欧洲打仗，他在因此在欧洲待了五年。
He started off in 1915 in North Africa, and then he had to go up into Europe, and then across to West Europe, in Turkey, and then Europe.
好，他在1915年的时候呢，从这个北非开始打仗，然后进到这个欧洲，然后后来到西欧。
He was away for 5 years before he could come back home.
他一直在这个战争五年后才回到了纽西兰。
But yeah, millions of people went to war and they never came back again.
但是很几百万的从纽西兰去欧洲。
Oh, from all over. From New Zealand, we lost about 100,000 people, maybe.
然后从纽西兰再有十几万的人去欧洲打仗，那全球可能有很多人在上好几百万人到欧洲去打仗，然后都没有办法回来。
Yeah, but New Zealand's on the other side of the world, just a very small country, didn't have many people, but all of the young men, they went off to war to fight in Europe.
像纽西兰其实离欧洲很遥远啊，他们其实人口也很少，所以这些十几万的这个年轻人到欧洲去打仗，对他们国家来损失是非常大的。
Because one guy got shot.Because this prince got assassinated.
只因为奥地利一个王子是被刺杀。 就这么一个小小的一个原因造成了这么多人的死伤。
Okay, it's just amazing how world history works out. You know, small things can start off these huge events.
所以这个可以看起来历史真的是很多事情让人不可思议，一个很小的事件可以造成一个全球的一个很重大的一个战争。
But as believers, we have that faith. We know that God controls history.
但是当作为一个基督徒，我们是有这样的信心，是上帝是在控，能是在他的控制，世界的控制中的。
Okay, and we see with these two wars in Israel, the first the Six-Day War and then the Yom Kippur War, even all of these great enemies against Israel, Israel was victorious.
你看这个以色列在经过这个近代的这两个大战役，这么多的敌军，结果以色列居然都胜利了。
And remember, Israel are not even supposed to be there yet. They're supposed to wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back, and then they can go back to Israel.
按照我们的圣经，其实以色列根本还不应该在这个时候建国的，他应该要等到耶稣基督回来以后才会建国的。
God has provided places around the world where we say pro-Semitic. For example, the United States, where the Jewish people can go and wait until the Messiah comes.
按照上帝的计划，其实这些以色列人可以分散在世界各地，比如说在美国有这么多的犹太人，他们都可以等待耶稣基督的回来。
Okay, so that brings us on to the next part of the study today.
那这就让我们呢，可以谈到我们下一个要谈的主题。
Now we're going to look at the laws of divine establishment. And the laws of divine establishment are laws under which a nation or people within a nation operate.
那我们要谈的是呢，神的律法典章，就是让神如何让这个世界建构起来。
Now this is a subject we did in Dan Shui, in China for maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's quite a while ago now.
在三四年前呢，那时候Tim 在广东的淡水有就讲过这个主。
These laws of divine establishment are biblical principles.
这个神的律法典章呢，其实是非常属于教义的一些原则。
So we'll just read through it, and then hopefully we'll get a sort of a broad idea of what these things are.
我们先把这个读一遍，让我们可以清楚大约的一个概念。
So I'll read it in the English, and then you can read it in the Chinese, I guess.So God instituted the laws of divine establishment for the believer and the unbeliever.
神为信者与不信者制定了律法典章。
Principles designed for the protection, stability, orderly function, survival, and blessing of the human race.
那一系列为了保护人类，维护社会稳定，使社会有序运转，让人类得以存活。并且得到祝福而立的原则。
Yeah, see, God needs to keep the human race alive because we're destined to be His witnesses.
神呢，他其实是一定要让我们人类这个血统能够延续的，因为我们是被设计要来成为神的见证人。
Yeah, and see, God provides everything that we need for our physical existence.
神提供我们各种资源，让我们能够确实的生存。
And also for our spiritual development.
同时也让我们能够在灵性上得以成长。
And we can call this logistical grace.
我们把它称之为就是我们基础的这个资源。
Okay, and it's all given in grace.
都是基础的恩典能够让我们存活。
Yeah, I will mention at this stage, you know, people, especially in the liberal way of thinking, they like to talk about your rights. You have rights as a human being, you have rights to free health, you have rights to education.
对于所谓的自由主义的来讲的话呢，就是我们把它称之为我们可以有什么样的权利，哈。比如说我们可以有这个医疗的权利，就是等于是免费医疗的权利。
Or people talk about, you know, rights for free education.
我们可以有免费受教育的权利。
And, you know, rights for, I don't know, you know, people, there's many different kinds of rights and categories.
就是有在整个一个自由社会里面有非常多的权利是由政府所提供的。
Just to give you an example of how crazy it can get in the United States, these transgender people are saying they have a right to be able to use women's bathrooms, for example. These men that think they're women, they have a right to use the women's bathrooms.
就像在美国啊，他会说这些所谓变性人士 变性人吗？
Yeah,
可以使用女性的厕所。
Okay, yeah, they demand that they have a right, and then some of the state governments are saying, yes, okay, we have to allow this, or we have to set up a separate kind of a bathroom for you. So you have boys' bathrooms, girls' bathrooms, and then the transgender bathrooms.
那不同的州呢，它都有不同的态度来面对这些事情。那甚至有一些州，他们就设令法令说，哦，这些变性人要有另外一种厕所，就除了男性厕所、女性厕所之外，还有变性人的厕所。
And they protest about this.
那这些变性人他们还对此去做抗争。
Okay, and then they take the government to court.
他们还要求去把这样的议题拿到法庭上面来讨论。
Okay, and if they keep trying hard enough, sometimes these people, it becomes a law. Yes, okay, we agree you have a right to have your own bathrooms, or you have a right to use the girls' bathrooms.
所以呢，他因为他们很努力的这种抗争，后来就有些政府就会同意说，哦，他们可以有这个变性人的专属的厕所，或者是说，哎，你们可以有权利去使用女性厕所。
Now that's an extreme example.
这当然是一个非常特殊的、很极端的一个案例。
But the fact is, in the Bible, it doesn't say anywhere that you have a right to anything. You don't have any rights. You have privileges.
但是实际上呢，我们的圣经从来没有提过权利这件事情。我们提到的呢，反而都是你有什么样的优待。
It's a privilege. See, life is a privilege. God gave you this privilege to exist.
因为生命就是一个特殊的优待、优惠、
特权。
Okay.
哦，好好，特权好了，我们用特权。
Okay.
So, 就是其实圣经没有提到过人有的权利，但是谈到人得到的特权。
And if you live in a free society, that's a great privilege.
你如果能够生活在一个自由的一个社会、一个环境、一个国家的话，这是你的特权，是一个特别的受惠。
Some people vote for their presidents or their prime ministers. That's a privilege.
Privilege is a right as well.
No, because people will demand for their rights, but God is the one who sets the standard. For example, He provides the government that you have. Why should you be protesting the government?
所以他的意思是说优惠啦。就说你在一个民主国家里，你就有机会提供了这种优惠，让你可以投票选举得到你的总统啊，或者说你有权优惠可以得到免费的教育等等的。
And sometimes you have an opportunity, you can start a new business. That's a privilege.
你可以能够成立你自己的公司做生意，这也是一种。优惠，但是权力的意思，它在英文的概念里面是说，好像你就是天生就有的。那但是优惠其实是神给的。
You have some governments and they provide free healthcare and free education for the people. That's a privilege.
某些国家里提供了我们免费的医疗、教育的机会，这些都是一种特别的优惠。
You got to remember, somebody has to pay for that.
但是你要记得，是要有人付钱，你才会得到这个优惠的。
But you know, everything that you get from God, it's a privilege that you have that, and you should be thankful for it.
所以任何你得到的是优惠呢，它都是神所提供的，你都应该要有感激之心。
So if you start demanding for these things and saying it's your right, that means that you're not going to appreciate it.
如果你把它当作是你的权利的话呢，你就认为你是可以无条件得到的话，那你一点都不会感激了。
And we should be giving thanks to God for everything. So everything that you have in your life, including the tests and the difficult situations, you can give thanks to God in those situations.
而我们呢，应该对所有神所给的都应该要保持着一个感激之心。所以你会为了每一件所得到的这种优惠而感谢。
Usually people say demand for their rights because they think that something is unfair to them. Like there's an organization or there's maybe a government law or there's a group of people, they're being unfair and then they demand their rights.
但是呢，很多人他们会去抗争说他们要求却没有得到的那些权利，那所以他们会认为那个是他们应得的。
But do you have to remember that this world is the devil's world and everybody's got their sin natures and there is always going to be injustice in the world.
而但是这个世界不要忘记它是一个属于魔鬼的世界，所有的事情都是被魔鬼所控制的，所以这并不是到处都有所谓的公义。
Yeah, this world is unfair.
这是一个不公平的世界。
And that's for your benefit because you get this chance when you've been learning doctrine and you have these tests of unfairness, you can apply doctrine to that test.
而这些不公义呢，反而是我们的一个优势，因为我们可以从这个中间学习到更多的圣经的教导。
You should never complain that something or somebody is being unfair.
所以我们不应该对任何不公平去抱怨。
Complaining is not part of the spiritual life.
因为抱怨绝对不是我们的属灵的生活。
Actually, it's a sin to complain because it says that you're saying that God's provision for me is not right.
而甚至抱怨呢是一个罪，因为这代表是你对于神所提供的是不满意的。
Yeah, but under God's logistical grace, see, God promises He will provide for you food, clothing, and shelter. He needs to keep you alive, so He will give you your food and clothing and shelter. That's all you need. And Bible doctrine.
而神呢，他在圣经里面告诉我们说，他一定会提供我们吃的、穿的跟住的。那这些才是神所提供的基本的恩典。
You are under the witness protection program of God.
这我们把它称之为这是。
See, often when you have a crime, and the witness needs to be protected by the police so that the criminals don't attack them.
这被称之为这个见证人的保护计划。
That's an established part of crime fighting.
在那个法庭上面，如果有一个见证人，他常常会被法庭，好，政府会保护。好，所以它其实是一个见证人的一个保护计划，让你不会被坏人给伤害。
If you have a plan to be a good witness for God, and you know, God obviously knows that, He will keep you alive.
所以如果你是神的一个很重要的见证人，好的见证人的话，神一定会给你这样子的一个保护计划。
And so again, that means He'll give you your food and the clothing and the shelter you need to get from one day to the next day.
所以呢，他会提供你至少生活所需的食衣住，让你可以一天一天的好好过活。
Matthew 6:31, for example, is a classic example where Jesus has promised, you know, don't worry about anything. God will provide for you.
马太福音的六章
I think it's verse 31 to verse 33 or something like that.
的31到33节就提到上帝会对我们提供的基本生活需要。
Okay, but there's hundreds of promises in Scripture which says God will provide for you.
但其实呢，在圣经里面提到几百种的神会提供的事情。
And here we have the laws of divine establishment. Getting back to the slideshow, is that God will even protect the unbelievers.
那这个所谓神会提供的事情呢，在律法和典章里面呢，是他提供的是不只提供我们信徒，好，不信的人都一起。在这样神的保护中。
Yeah, but don't expect anything as a right. Everything that's provided, you can say thank God for this privilege.
但这些神所提供的，你都不要认为这是你的该有的权利。我们都应该用一个感激的心，说这是神所给我们的特别的优待。
Okay, and one thing God provides is a system of authority over us, i.e. the government.
第一个呢，他提供的就是神给我们的这政府。
See, authority protects self-determination, meaning you can make decisions how you want to live your life, privacy, property, human life, the basic components of freedom.
好，这是神要给我们的基本的保护人的权利，里面包括人的自主权、个人的隐私权。还有私人的财产以及保护你生命安全的这些基本的要素。
And notice the word privacy in here as well.
很重要哦，这里面其中一个是个人的隐私。
Yeah, privacy should mean that you can go into your own home and you can do what you want, free from the prying eyes of an authoritarian government. Privacy means you can be in your own home and the government's not going to be looking in on what you're doing in your private life.
就是这种个人隐私是说，哎，你在自己的家中你所做的事情，其实政府是没有资格去看的。
Or even in business, you know, the government.
甚至在你的生意中。
And you see, as governments expand their power, that they do like to get involved. You know, they like to have cameras everywhere. What are you doing? And then they'll get information off your phones. They're invading your privacy.
像政府它实在是好像有能力好去看到你在干嘛监视你在干嘛包括你的电话好的这些交通沟通它都有能力去拿到这些资讯的这个就是变成了是 侵犯你的隐私权。
And they're doing it in the name of security.
那他们很可能用一个说是为了保护你安全的这个说法而来拿你的这些资个人资讯。
People say the government's looking after us because they can use this information to protect us from the criminals and from the enemies.
那一般人会以为说，哎，如果政府这样做是能够保护我们不被我们的这些敌人或者是坏人所伤害。
Okay, but ultimately, if they have information about you, they have power over you. That's how they keep their power.
但是如果政府呢，他能有了你的这些讯息，他就有能力控制你。
You know, to a certain extent, government needs to get information, but from the criminals. You know, they need to be keeping an eye on the criminals, not the innocent people of a country.
但实际上政府应该呢，是只能够对于所谓的犯罪的人哈，要收集他们的情报，不能够说政府去收集一般正常好人的这些资讯的。
Okay, but often governments, they operate on fear. See, they don't want to lose their power, so they can control other people through invading their privacy.
但是呢，有些政府呢，他在利用人们的一个害怕的心理，好，害怕被侵犯，害怕被伤害的心理，他就侵犯了一般人的所有的隐私权。
Remember, knowledge is power.
你要知道，知是一个权力。
And the more knowledge they have about you and what you're doing and what your family and business are doing, then the more power they have over you.
那当你他知道你的事情，个人的事情越多，知道你的公司的事情越多，他就有越大的权力能控制你。
Okay, let's get on to the next slide. Now, the Ten Commandments defined liberty, morality, and divine authority for believers and unbelievers within Israel.
第二个呢是十诫中。为以色列的信者和不信者界定了自由与道德，明确了神的权柄。
The first five commandments embodied the sovereign rule, recognizing the rule of Yahweh, it's really Jesus Christ, over the nation of Israel, and declares the existence and sovereignty of God to mankind.
在十诫里面的前五条诫命呢，体现了耶和华对以色列的主权与主宰，同时向世人宣告了神的存在与主权。
And then the last five of the Ten Commandments, they express divine viewpoints, so that's God's thinking, about morality, and summarize the holy precepts of civil independence, that's freedom, that protect the privacy and property of believers and unbelievers alike.
而在这十诫里面的后五条诫命呢，则体现了神的道德观，概述了公民独立的神圣戒律。这些戒律呢，为信者和不信者提供了同等的隐私保护以及财产的保护权。
For example, you shall not steal.
比如说，你不可以偷窃。
And that means that God recognizes that you can have private property. You can have property for yourself.
这代表什么呢？代表你可以有私人的财产，是拥有自己可以拥有财产的。
There's some philosophies in the world that say we shouldn't own everything.
有一些这个哲学家说，我们不应该拥有私人的财产，我们不应该拥有任何个人的财产。
Or you get criminals, for example, that and they don't understand this philosophy. They think, well, this guy's got lots of money and he's got lots of things, so that gives me a right to steal from him.
那但是这样的话，也有一种坏人哈，就说，哎，那个人拥有很多的钱财，我一定从他那边偷过来，是那个坏人一定是这样认为是没问题，他才会去偷嘛。
Okay, that's what the Nazis did with the Jews during Nazi Germany. They just went into the Jewish people and they said, oh, we want, they went into their houses and we'll take this and we'll take that and we'll take that. And they stole everything.
那纳粹党在当年就是跑到那些犹太人的家里，就把人家所有的东西、财物全部都据为己有。
See, the government had too much power.
所以那个政府是有了太多的权力，超越了这个所谓个人财产的保护权。
But see, under the Ten Commandments, people should be protected. In the laws of Israel, which are used in most countries, stealing is a crime.
所以呢，这个以色列的这个十诫的这个概念呢，说人是有自有私有财产的，而这些这个戒律也成为了大部分国家的法律基础。
But the government has a responsibility to establish a way to enforce these laws.
而一个政府呢，它就是必须要，就是依照这样的一个基础的概念，去把他们的法律定出来。
For example, they'll establish a constitution and then a court system and a police system as well.
所以他们会经由这些戒律成立了政府的
The court system.
法庭系统。
Okay, and then the police system as well.
然后他们所以有政府有法庭然后有警察系统就是经由这样子的一个戒律而设立的。
And yeah, it needs to be fair under all of those categories, of course.
而且它必须在各个不同的这个层级的这个规划下都要必须是公平的。
Yeah, see, often you get corrupt policemen or you get a corrupt court system, and the Bible says when there's no justice in the land, that's when the nation falls to pieces.
就像你在法庭跟警察体系里面，它都必须要有正义。那如果没有正义，如果它是一个被腐化的系统的话，这个国家就会完蛋。
And the bigger the government is, the more room for corruption there is as well.
而政府越大，这种所谓的腐败就会越深。
Okay, we'll just get one more slide, and before we have to stop the Zoom and open up again,
我们再讲一个点，就要可能就要重新开 Zoom 了。
Okay, there's four divine institutions through which the law of divine establishment function. The first is the individual, then you have marriage, family, and the national entity.
而神呢，设立了四种制度，神所设定的律法典章，就是通过这些制度。能够发挥各个不同层级的职能，这包括从个体到婚姻到家庭以及国家这四个制度。
And these four founding principles for mankind are from the Bible.
而这四项人类为人类而设的基本原则呢，在圣经中是有很清楚的阐释，还有贯彻始终的证明。
But every time you have an institution, there has to be an authority of that institution.So every institution has an authority.
每一个不同的制度，它下都会有那个单那个制度下的这个权柄。
Okay, I'll just come down to the slide here, and then we'll finish. We'll just let the Zoom finish off, and you can have a look at that slide as the Zoom closes down, and then we'll open up in 5 minutes.
我们五分钟后再回来。现在你们先看一下这个图。
Okay, just leave it open like that.